Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. KSJE is proud to support the third annual Aztec Artists Studio Tour, Saturday and Sunday, October 9th and 10th. The Aztec Artists Studio Tour will feature works from 26 local artists in home studios, jewelry, chalk, clay, photography, metal, pottery, sculpture, functional, decorative, acrylic, oil and watercolors, two and three dimensional arts. Find out more on Facebook at Aztec Artist Studio Tour. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Friday morning, the 8th day of October 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM, over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. It is streaming live this morning onto the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody. We have a big morning plan for you, so thanks for tuning in. Starting in just a moment, it is our COVID-19 Community Information Program. Megan Cullop will be joining me here in Studio A, and our special guest this week is Matt Bieber from the New Mexico Department of Health. We'll be getting an update on boosters and other shots and vaccination clinics and much more information to share in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then next hour, Mick Hess is going to be featuring Hoyle Osborne, local entertainer on Roving with the Arts. You can certainly tune into that coming up next hour here on KSJE. This hour as well, we will be talking to Ken George, who is a candidate for the Aztec City Commission. You'll be hearing that interview later on this hour at about 8:50 a.m. And then today at noon, it's the Cop Shop with the Farmington Police Department. Police Chief Steve Hebby will be here. Public Information Officer Nicole Brown coming on the air today at noon. On the air, of course, on radio and, of course, on social media. You can watch on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. So we hope you'll join us for that coming up today at 12 on KSJE. Let's talk a little bit about the weather forecast, shall we, outside our studios here at San Juan College. 52 degrees in Farmington at the moment. We are expecting a mostly cloudy day today with a high of about 76 degrees. Maybe a shower developing overnight, the low 56. Partly cloudy tomorrow, the high 67 on Saturday. Maybe a shower again on Sunday with a high of 62 degrees.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. Here we are, Friday morning.
Yeah. Thank God. This is a long week.
It's Friday. Yes. That's the saying, right?
Yes.
So let's get right to it.
Yes.
Our guest has been waiting patiently, and I've been rambling on, and he's too polite to say it. Yes, exactly. But we're very thrilled to have Matt Bieber back with us on the telephone from the New Mexico Department of Health for our COVID-19 Community Information Program today. And Matt, good morning. Thank you for waiting patiently for us.
Absolutely. Good to be with both of you.
Thank you. Let's start by talking a little bit about boosters. That seems to be what we're hearing a lot about these days. And I know the state of New Mexico and the Department of Health is kind of following guidance from the CDC. So can you give us the latest on boosters?
Sure. I'm going to start with where we are right now, and then perhaps we can discuss what's likely to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
So a couple of weeks ago, the federal government, first the FDA and then the CDC, approved booster shots, that is a third shot, for anyone who had received the Pfizer primary series and completed that primary series at least 6 months ago, if you fell into a couple of specific categories. Basically, those were high-risk categories, so older folks, folks who live in long-term care facilities, folks who have underlying medical conditions, and folks who may be at higher risk of COVID exposure because of where they work. And we have all of this listed in more detail at vaccinenm.org. We also have a little tool that allows you to just answer some yes and no questions and tells you if you're eligible for the booster right now. And if you are eligible, it links you to our scheduling tool right away. We also have a call-in number for folks who aren't able to use the internet for one reason or another. And we've begun to see some meaningful uptake of boosters here in the state of New Mexico.
Very great. Good.
Good news, yeah.
So, and I just to dispel, I think sometimes I hear people chatting about, does this mean Moderna is not safe for a booster? Does this mean Johnson & Johnson's not safe? And my assumption is that Pfizer is first to get approval because they were the first out of the gates with the primary series in the very beginning. Is that true?
You got it. Yeah, that's partially right. And it's also the case that Pfizer submitted their clinical trial research for booster approval earlier than the other two as well. So that's the real reason. They just got to the line quicker, and therefore they got reviewed quicker. But that actually, I think, transitions us nicely to what's going to come up in the next couple of weeks. In 6 days, the FDA, one of the FDA's committees, has a meeting to review clinical trial data for the Moderna booster. And the very next day, they're going to review clinical trial data for J&J. So the fact that those aren't available just yet doesn't say anything about how effective they are. It's just a matter of timing.
Got you. And I know we've been hearing throughout the pandemic of how, you know, folks want to make sure that everything is safe and these things have been tested and studied and all that. And this is kind of the situation that we're in, isn't it, Matt, that they are looking at all these vaccines, all their effectiveness, and just making sure that they're going to do what they say they're going to do and provide that extra protection for folks as we move forward, even with these variants and other things that we're hearing about, right?
You got it. So one thing to say right out of the gate, because this is a persistent myth, is that the fact that there are breakthrough cases indicates something about how the vaccines aren't all they're cracked up to be. We always expected breakthrough cases because no vaccine, not a COVID vaccine or any other vaccine, is perfect. And if it's not perfect, if it doesn't provide 100% protection to everybody all the time, that means there will be breakthrough cases. The COVID vaccines, like other vaccines, also immunity protection levels wane a little bit over time. That's just expected with any vaccine. And because that's begun to happen to some degree, the federal government has begun to approve booster shots to boost up the immunity levels of especially vulnerable groups. And again, this is just par for the course with vaccines. The difference, I suppose, with COVID-19 vaccines is that we're learning a lot of this in real time. So, you know, one of the things that our state epidemiologists and others have speculated is that it could be that one day we discover that the most effective way to provide COVID-19 vaccines is as a three-shot series. So what we're calling a booster now might just become the third shot, you know, just like we have other shots that are three doses over time. So we're learning all of that over time, and we're integrating that data as best we can as we go.
Yeah, and I know that, like you said, this is speculation because we are moving quickly as things are developing. And is it possible that it's not just diminished immunity over time, but maybe evolution, if you will, of different variants, sort of like the flu shot? Is there speculation that we're going to have a yearly booster for folks?
Yeah, that's certainly a part of the conversation. You know, one of the things that Dr. Scrace, our health secretary, has said many times is, you know, in the late 19-teens, like 1918 or so, there were folks that we thought, you know, 1918, 1919, folks thought we had Spanish flu licked. And here we are 100 years later, still getting a booster or a flu shot every year. So it's possible that because of variants and because of incomplete vaccine protection across the population, we'll need to continue to do a booster shot each year. And that's certainly a real possibility. If it is a real possibility, our hope is that COVID-19 vaccine delivery will be integrated more and more fully into the local provider level of healthcare delivery. So, you know, you'll go to your doctor for all your regular shots and you'll get your COVID shot too. That could happen.
Very good. And so, man, I just wanted to just remind everybody again, vaccinenm.org is the website if folks want to go online and look for booster eligibility and things along that line. And as things do start to open up, right now it's Pfizer. As you mentioned, we expect some of the other ones to get approval here over the next few weeks. I would assume by the end of October, it may be a very different story as to how many boosters are available, but that's kind of the timeline you're looking at.
Yeah, that's tended to be the pattern. So once the federal government begins their process, they have multiple committees that have to look at these, at the data. But once they begin doing that, they tend to meet pretty rapidly and come to a conclusion pretty rapidly. So I think end of October is a reasonable guess for booster approval for both Moderna and J&J. Now, again, as we saw with Pfizer, it's not always easy to predict exactly who they'll say are eligible or who they say will be most appropriate to get boosters at this time. So you'll recall that the White House, for example, wanted boosters for the whole population, but the CDC came out with narrower recommendations about who was actually eligible. So we could see something similar with Moderna and J&J. The one thing I'd like to put in front of your audience as well is that we also have a scheduled meeting at the federal level for them to review the clinical trial data for Pfizer boosters for young children, for 5 to 11-year-olds. So the meeting's on the books for October 26th at the FDA. That'll be the first look the federal government takes at the trial data for 5 to 11-year-olds. Everything we've seen indicates that clinical trial data is very strong, just like all the previous clinical trials have been. Strong protection, minimal side effects, a lower dosage, I believe, for younger children. So that could be coming, and parents may want to be aware of all that as well.
Very good. And so as you mentioned, there's a sort of primary set of 1 and 2 shots. We know that for Pfizer and Moderna. And so can you tell us how many New Mexicans have at least a first shot and what the speculation is as far as getting people fully vaxxed in that primary series? When are we going to reach, a higher level?
Right. It's a great question. Well, I'll tell you that we have been really pleasantly surprised. We are now at over 80% of adult New Mexicans have gotten at least a first shot. Over 70%, I think it's 71 now and climbing, have completed their primary series. And this is really great news because, a year ago, we were seeing polling data that suggested that not that many folks would want the shots, or some would absolutely never get it. And I think what we're seeing is that over time, folks are seeing their neighbors get the shots and have good protection and not have the kinds of side effects that were feared. We're seeing it just normalized, and more folks are feeling comfortable doing it. And that's great. We understand that different people have different timelines. Different people have different questions they want to ask their primary care providers, and we encourage that conversation. If you've got doubts or questions or concerns, by all means, go ask your doctor, and no need to take my word for it. Go talk to that doctor that you trust that knows your health well. 99%+ of doctors in New Mexico have gotten vaccinated, and they did it really fast. As soon as they became eligible, they were the first ones banging down the door. So I think that should be telling. The people we trust most with our health and with our family's health are the ones who have the most confidence in these vaccines.
That is good news, Matt Bieber. And we had looked at your the Facebook page for the Department of Health, and it was saying that about 80% of New Mexicans may have their first series. Does that sound right to you?
80% with at least the first shot,
yeah.
70% who completed their series.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Wanted to ask you just a bit about some of the daily numbers, and I know the caution is, we shouldn't put a lot of weight on the daily numbers, but of course, when the numbers are so high, it certainly gets your attention. And my point is, yesterday, when the numbers came out and you published them every day, San Juan County, unfortunately, had the highest daily COVID cases in the entire state. That's bigger than Bernalillo County, bigger than Doña Ana County, like Las Cruces and Albuquerque and Santa Fe County, over 200 cases in one day. And that has to be concerning. Obviously, what does that mean for long term? Or is that stuff that you guys keep an eye on? Or are you really watching it the bigger picture?
Oh, we absolutely keep track of it. In fact, we had a morning meeting yesterday where that was noted, that San Juan and two other counties that had unusually high case counts. We're absolutely keeping our eye on that. What I'd say is you're absolutely right to caution your listeners into reading too much into that data. As with anything with epidemiology and with viral spread, one day spikes are possible and they don't automatically mean a whole lot. You know, they don't tell us a ton about underlying causes. By the same token, I should say they don't tell us a ton about trends. What we really want to know about is trends. What's the direction of the trend? Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying high for a long time? But I think we can also draw some reasonable conclusions, right? If the numbers are going up, I mean, at this point, we know how COVID spreads. It's not mysterious. And so I say this with all respect, but, you know, there aren't really a ton of possibilities. It's that folks aren't getting vaccinated. It's that they're not wearing their masks. It's that they're congregating in ways that aren't safe. It's that they're not following other COVID safe practices. So the more we do all those things that are scientifically proven to keep us safe, the less cases we'll have. It really is basically that straightforward.
Right. And that was going to be my next question, whether there's a speculation on whether or not it's a behavioral thing, why San Juan County is unfortunately taking the lead on this one. So Matt Beaver, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always appreciated to get your expertise and what's going on out there.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity and appreciate what you all are doing to provide good, vetted, clear information to your listeners. Happy to help anytime.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Stay well. Thanks for joining us. That is Matt Beaver from the New Mexico Department of Health back with us on our COVID-19 Community Information Program. We do it every other Friday here on KSJE, in case you forgot. Not you.
Okay.
How could you forget? I email you daily about the show.
You basically do, yeah, which is appreciated.
Okay. Well, that's good. But yeah, so lots of good information. More boosters on the way, it sounds like. Again, more reminders if folks have not yet been vaccinated to get vaccinated. If you have a question about that, as we have always said, right, since they came out, if you have a question, check with your doctor to see if it's right for you.
Right, right, you know, right.
Don't check with your brother's uncle's milkman on Facebook to see if it's right for you.
You've brought up the milkman a few times, and I just, yeah, that's
I'm
an
old.
Antiquated,
yeah,
it it's really an antiquated example, but that's fine.
I know. I've never had a milkman in my life. Never.
That's good.
Yeah.
Me neither. No. For obvious reasons.
Right.
But, you know, and it should be noted that when we talk to the hospital, every time we speak to the hospital, those who are being hospitalized, those whose lives are taken by COVID, have high percentage have been unvaccinated.
That's true.
So right. Always want to point that out.
Right. And I think we're seeing that nationwide as well, right?
Yes.
The folks who are more seriously ill with COVID tend to be the majority of cases unvaccinated
yes.
folks. So there's that. We do have a couple of vaccination clinics coming back, these full-scale vaccine events. We haven't seen them in a while, right? Remember, we used to do them, they were weekly, you know, and now they're back. So next Tuesday at the McGee Park Convention Center from 4 to 5:30, this will be Pfizer first, second, or third doses for folks. So again, if you have not yet gotten vaccinated, this is your opportunity. Next Friday the 15th at the San Juan College Health and Human Performance Center from 9 to 10:30. And then again on Saturday at the Farmington Recreation Center on October 16th from 9 a.m. until 10:30. And again, these are for first and second doses, and then the third booster doses are available to these folks. So immunocompromised, 65 years or older, and then those 18 years or older who have maybe serious medical conditions or are considered essential workers. You can find out the definitions of those on the website, vaccinenm.org.
To refresh your memory. There
yes.
was a time when we knew who
right.
those were. So, yeah.
But I think folks that come into contact, you know, with the elderly, maybe work in an assisted living home
healthcare.
Or nursing home, healthcare folks, teachers, I believe, are considered essential workers.
Yep.
And so you can find out, again, more at vaccenenm.org. But these events are coming up within the next week. And so, again, we're ramping up yet again, which is good.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of New Mexico for having 80% with the first shot.
That's
you know?
Good.
That is exciting to see. Other things we want to share with you this morning before we go would be the trends. And again, so as Matt Beaver said, you know, the daily numbers are interesting, but they may not show a bigger picture. But these trends, when they do the averages and they kind of show us kind of where things are headed, is something more that maybe is a bit more telling. And so a couple of weeks ago, I think we showed the same graphic and it was kind of on a downward trend and we were all excited. And I wanted to point that out. And what a difference 2 weeks makes.
Right.
Because here we are. And as you can see, the line is for San Juan County is going back up. And these are cases as of last week. So September 30th was the latest data that we have. And so you can see the surges that we've seen in the county with cases. And again, they're heading back up at the moment. And it is the rolling day average, 7-day rolling day average is what we're showing you right now on the screen.
Right.
So
important note about the trends, for sure.
Yeah, just giving us an idea. So we don't see those high peaks and low valleys from the daily numbers. They kind of even it out a little bit by seeing it this way. But still not
great.
Not
we
a good
are
trend.
Climbing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'd like that to come back down. Again, there's still COVID testing going on throughout the community, of course. Aztec Schools does that every Wednesday and Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is happening. You can register at curative.com. Curative, of course, is the name of the testing organization. There's also the COVID tests at McGee Park. That is continuing as well, Monday through Friday from 8 to 3, if you're in need of a test. And then at Farmington Municipal Schools, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays are happening at the 30th Street location of the district office for Farmington Schools, 3401 East 30th Street. The COVID watch list, it's long. There's a lot of businesses on the watch list from the State Department of Environment. And so we will show you all of the companies on this list. Do you want to go through them?
You want to go back and forth?
Sure.
So
you can read this page.
Okay, Life Care Center of Farmington with 2, Beehive Homes of Farmington with 2, Beehive Homes of Farmington with 2. So there's 4 Beehive Homes, so that's why that's repeated. Cedar Ridge Inn with 3, Four Corners Nephrology with 2, and Southwestern Private SVC with
services,
2.
I think.
Yes,
right?
Services.
And those are the rapid responses, the numbers of rapid responses they have. Chenault Consulting has 3, Harvest Midstream with 2, Lowe's with 3, the Rush Truck Center with 2, Salt River Materials Group with 2, and Smith's Food and Drug Center with 2.
Right. And Sonia Lucao CPA with 2, Hermosa Middle School with 2, Aztec High School with 4, CV Kugler Middle School or Kugler Middle School with 4, Lydia Rippey Elementary School with 2, and McCoy Avenue Elementary with 2.
Right. Park Avenue Elementary also at Aztec with 2. Bloomfield Early Childhood Center has 2. Bloomfield High School with 4. Mesa Alta Junior High with 4. Nabaani Elementary with 3. And Bluffview Elementary with 3. And, of course, we have heard this week of 3 schools in San Juan County that have closed because of the COVID cases. And you can see why on this list with Bloomfield High and Mesa Alta and Nabaani cases coming in as well.
Esperanza Elementary School with 2, Farmington High School with 2, Heights Middle School with 2, McCormick Elementary with 3, McKinley Elementary with 2.
Right. And then wrapping up, Mesa View has 3, Northeast Elementary with 2, and Piedra Vista High School with 2 rapid responses. But those are the watch list.
Yeah, lots of schools. And, you know, it's certainly true that they've been going in and out of remote learning for that reason, or individual classrooms have been quarantined, with elementary school mostly, because, you know, other higher level schools, they rotate which classrooms they're in. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but there you go. So that's what we have this week, everybody, to share with you. And any thoughts, any llama stories, anything else we need to share?
No llama stories. I was saying that I need to actually listen to this, but I did see a story that was comparing the measles outbreak at the Disney theme parks with how we're dealing with COVID. That's all I have is a teaser, though.
Oh,
so
okay.
Next time,
maybe in 2 weeks, we'll
have more details as I investigate.
Got you. But of course, you know, Matt Bieber talked a little bit about, you know, how we get to that point maybe where this becomes less of a pandemic and just more endemic, like the flu, right? And so maybe every year we have a COVID vaccine, COVID shot, like the flu shot, to be able to just minimize the effects of that whatever variant or whatever has kind of bubbled up over the last 12 months. And so I think that's kind of where we're looking, I guess, maybe as a possible future. We're not going to really get rid of it.
Right.
Unfortunately, as much as we'd love to, it's kind of with us.
Yeah, and speaking of flu shots, get those, you know.
Yes.
At least the medical source that I spoke with says get those by the end of October, but at the latest November, get ahead of The flu seasons actually also oscillate each year, but in general, you know, this is another vaccine that is going to sort of hedge your bets. That's also a disease that you do not want to suffer from. It's nasty at best and potentially life-threatening at worst. So
very true.
Yeah.
And one final thought happening here at San Juan College today is the Veterans Stand Down, and a lot of great resources for veterans at the Health and Human Performance Center here on campus this Friday morning. Also, a lot of services for homeless vets and things along that line. So just a plug for them. They're doing a lot of great
for
work
sure.
across the street. So.
Yes. You'll see a giant American flag, and that'll tell you where to go.
It is giant.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I
it's
can
touching,
see it from here.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Always appreciate
always.
Your
yeah.
contributions.
Thank you.
And
you
next
too.
Week, it's another solution from the street.
The street, yes.
But have a safe week, everybody. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.